With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chocks away, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller, of course, and I've got Jim Campbell with me.
Hello.
And Luke Moore.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's not here.
No Pete this time.
Oh, he's missed the first preview show.
He has. I think he's done that on purpose.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he's thought, I'm good in hindsight, but I don't back myself as a predictor of the future, unlike Mostradamus.
No, well, yes. Well, Pete is in Japan, which is 8 hours in the future.
That's true,
so
actually.
He's,
yeah.
You know, he's taking it literally. Technically more ahead of... than anyone.
It's ironic, so if anything, he would have more insight.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Notable by his absence.
He will be on this show at some point because we're going to be doing this every Friday morning.
Yeah, we are.
You know, so
why not? People like the ramble. Let's give them some more of it.
Yes. And we'll find out if they really do like the ramble.
Yeah. Yeah. At least let's put it to the test.
Over to you with that one, listeners. Yeah. We're going to be previewing the upcoming Premier League fixtures this weekend. First up, would you, Adam and Eva? It's Spurs versus Liverpool, and it's Jurgen Klopp. He's the opening act
in his first game.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, that's big news, isn't it? I'd read an incredible stat about Liverpool, which is that Gerard Houllier is the only Liverpool manager to win his first Premier League game. And how nostalgic and old does this make you feel? He was joint manager with Roy Evans.
I remember that.
Can I correct that stat? The first manager to win his Premier League game. What, in the whole of the Premier League or
no,
just for Liverpool?
His first Liverpool game.
Liverpool.
His first Liverpool Premier League
game.
Right,
okay.
I assumed that would go without saying.
I got that, but Marcus wanted clarification. And that's fair enough.
Yeah. That's fine.
He's speaking on behalf of the common man, not the elitist intellectuals on this side of the table.
The very common man.
The man who's had repeated blows to the head.
Oh, hello, dear. Confusion, my old friend.
That's right. And hello, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Because he's our new friend. Yeah. Unless you're an Evertonian, I'd imagine. Mm. It's going to be flipping marvellous.
It's going to be great, isn't it? Didn't he once describe himself as a heavy metal Arsene Wenger?
He did, yeah.
No such thing.
In his first press conference at Liverpool, he asked for his players to do many shoots and many sprints.
Did he not say something like he wants to see... more fun and bravery in the
fun and bravery
eyes.
Is a brilliant just slogan, isn't it?
It's something we can get behind
that. Yeah.
That. I mean, by far the group of Premier League fans who regularly lament the lack of mentioning of their team on the Football Ramble are Spurs fans, and they will no doubt be devastated to hear that we're talking about them at the top of the show for once, but in the context of it's a really tough game against the Liverpool team with a brand new manager.
Well, what I would say then, Spurs fans, is that Spurs are the only Premier League side not to have lost since the opening weekend of this year's Premier League campaign.
It's an odd stat because it makes it sound like every team lost on the first day. But there you go.
Yeah. While we're getting confused. They're in pretty good shakes, actually. Not as...
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go against convention then. Let's not talk about it in the context of Klopp. Let's talk about it in the context of Spurs. Just for the start.
The Middlesex Cockerels.
My opinion of Spurs is when they... At the beginning of the season, I saw them play and I thought, not enough pace in the team, not enough imagination. It's a bit predictable. It's a bit slow in the build-up. And I don't think they're going to do much unless they sort this out. Since then, they've improved, clearly. They have improved.
Well, they beat Pardew's Palace.
They did, and that's no mean feat.
No.
And they've, as you've pointed out, Marcus, they've not lost since the opening day, and you can't argue with that. Last time out, draw against Swansea, wasn't it? It's an okay result. Swansea are a good team. This is a different proposition, though.
Mm.
And one of the players who has been really good ever since I said he's a little bit overrated, that tends to happen like clockwork on this show, is Eric Dier at the base of that midfield, who's done a fantastic job the last few weeks. But unfortunately, he won't be available against Liverpool. He's suspended. So he's going to be a miss for them. I think it's a fascinating game. I think it's without doubt the highlight of the weekend. I can't wait to see Klopp's first game in charge. I can't wait to see how good Spurs are, because Liverpool under Klopp, the players will be looking to impress and all this other stuff. So it'll be a fascinating game. It's a difficult one to call. I mean, I don't know whether I should go out on a limb and actually call a result. But I know, Jim, you had a few feelings.
I think it could be a draw, and I think there's going to be goals in it. So I think possibly two or. I think Christian Eriksen's been in incredible form. He's just seems to score free kicks for fun. Coutinho as well. This seems like exactly the sort of game that he'd step up in. We see that a lot from him. Harry Kane's form as well. He's not scored a huge amount of goals for Tottenham yet, but I think that's a bit of a misnomer. I know he scored an own goal for them a little while ago and has been scoring goals for England, and that is a Harry Kane that I can get behind as an Arsenal fan. But I don't think that's indicative of how his season's going to go.
Interestingly enough, Harry Redknapp at the Evening Standard today actually said, now Harry Kane scored, he's going to be among the goals. He almost sort of assumed that would happen, and he was sort of making... I wonder whether it was just Redknapp being flippant and phoning this column in, or whether he's got some insight into Kane because he would have worked with him when he was a younger man, where he's maybe a bit of a confidence player, and if he gets a goal, he'll definitely go on to score more. But the Liverpool...
By the way, just a quick one. Well done for giving old Red as a mention there and not having a dig.
Well, if you let me finish, I was going to go on to say, alternatively, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's just trying to be relevant by putting stuff in the media because he wants people to forget about him. Yeah. That's basically what I was going to go on to say.
Yeah,
fair enough.
On Harry Kane, I mean, a goal drought is effectively just the most present test of his maturity, isn't it? We saw an incredible rise from him, from a sort of Europa League bit part player to the leading the line for Spurs and starting for England recently. And, you know, players, they have these droughts. And how he responds to that is another measure of how he's shaping up.
Before the Newcastle game, Sergio Aguero had a goal drought, he responded.
Wow. Yeah, saving them up.
Yeah, against poor old Steve McClaren, although he's injured.
Well, before we move on to Man City, just from the Liverpool game, I wanted to say that...
I wasn't moving on, just a little mention there.
I'm chastising you for no reason.
No, chastise away.
I was just going to talk about Liverpool being 15-8 to win the game. And, you know, £20 on that is £57.50 back.
No way.
It's £37.50 profit.
That's maths in that.
It is.
Can I actually, dare I suggest, another an odd I saw for Liverpool? The odds of them finishing first in the season, at the end of the season.
Yeah, I like this. I like this
market.
I
do as well.
Because you know why? Because I think... You look at it and you think, it's tempted to say, Liverpool have changed their manager, right? So it's all automatically... You do that sort of mental leap where you say, well, they're obviously having a disaster because they've had to change their manager 8 games in. But actually, if you look at how Liverpool are doing, they're only 3 points off the top 4. Yeah. And
6 points off the top. Am I right, guys?
In October. Yeah. You know, and as you were going to go on to say, I'm sure, 33-1 on Liverpool to win the league this season.
I think that's all right.
I do as well. And I think for them to come fourth at 5-1, I mean, these are obviously Bet365 odds, but that to me is decent. I think, and the reason I'm saying that is because at this stage in the season, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what's happened to Chelsea. No one would have predicted that happen. Mm. There's no reason at all that with a manager who can get a grip of those players and really bring them on, that they can't go on and do something. Mm. Certainly top four. You can't write them off with Klopp at the helm.
That said, though, they've lost Joe Gomez and Danny Ings for the entire season in
so
quick succession. Just heartbreaking for them both.
I'm really sad about and Joe Gomez because he looked like he had a lot of potential, and I'm sure he will bounce back from this, of course, but another Klopp quote that you've got to chuck in there is when Klopp was asked about Joe Gomez, he said... He's a lovely young boy with muscles in all the right places.
Yeah, I mean, that's ideal in a footballer, isn't it?
That's too much information.
But you don't want to play with a thigh muscle coming out of his chin. That's no good to anyone.
Well, no, in the right places.
Yeah,
well, exactly. All right.
So first of all, it's a mental checklist. First of all, has he got muscles?
Yep.
Good. Secondly,
where are they?
Are they in the right places?
Was he giving him a massage at the time while he was saying it?
Yeah, that one seems fine.
Maybe that city does like a proper full MOT of every player as he gets to a club.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
I wouldn't put it past him. But I think the idea of Liverpool winning the league, obviously that's, you know, people might think that's ridiculous. The odds suggest that. But you're right, Luke. If Klopp suddenly got them up for it, Chelsea are way off, as we know. We'll come and talk about them. The two Manchester sides. Well, Man City, Pellegrini, they look good. They do, but you wouldn't.
They stumbled though, didn't they? After that European loss,
they did stumble,
as we predicted.
And Arsenal are Arsenal.
Exactly.
Well, so,
exactly.
In conclusion,
doors open.
Liverpool are going to win the league.
There's not a completely ruthless team there. There's not a team like Chelsea of last season. Just on they go.
Again,
every time.
Early days though. I expect City to refine their form and be a bit more ruthless.
Are Sunderland going to become ruthless under Big Sam?
Big Sam's going to become ruthless on top of Sunderland.
Big Sam is going to continue to be ruthless.
Yeah. Is he better than Rafa Benitez? All these quotes coming
this
from his autobiography.
This is funny, isn't it? Yeah, because I mean, his autobiography's out, and he's, you know, to sell it, he's just basically just slagged everyone, isn't he? What was it he said? It's so Allardyce.
Champions League.
Yeah, effectively, he said it had nought to do with Benitez.
He said about Rafa Benitez, he said, he's won the Champions League with Liverpool. Obviously, I haven't done that, but it was nought to do with him.
Mm. It was a lot to do with him.
Mm. I'd say so.
I think that's, you know what, I think...
Allardyce hasn't even managed Liverpool.
That's even beneath Big Sam, so I know he's no stranger to a quote. I know he wants to sell a book, and I know the PR company's going to go into that book and pull out all the big quotes and all that stuff and try and sell it, and I understand that. But really, he should show a bit of respect for a fellow professional, I think.
Absolutely. Benitez's response was very clipped. It was effectively, you know, what's he won? Nothing. Effectively, what you just said, he just said he's got a book to sell. Don't take it seriously.
I mean, the only reason he responded is clearly because he was asked directly in a press conference. But they go away to West Brom this weekend.
Yes.
And West Brom are a bit of a funny one, aren't they, this season? Because
they are.
Talking about sort of these mental leaps, all football fans do, it's another one with West Brom, because you automatically think, right, West Brom, obviously they're never going to do anything massive. They've now got Tony Pulis. They'll be fine. Well, actually, they're in 17th position. They're only 4 points off relegation. So it is worth thinking about, because they've lost their last two. And so I think Big Sam will be looking at this game thinking...
They're occupying the spot we want.
There's a chance here. Yeah.
They seem to get, you know, comprehensive wins and look convincing or get pumped.
Yeah.
It's a strange, very schizophrenic kind of... team we're seeing from West Brom. Well, actually, one thing, sorry Marcus to cut in there, but I think somebody deserves credit is Darren Fletcher, because apparently since he made his debut for West Brom, he's not missed a minute of football for them.
Good for him.
I mean, that's incredible. He spent so long on the sidelines.
Well done, Daz.
The reason Sunderland Big Sam will take heart from this is because obviously last time out they drew against West Ham, got a point. It's important for them at that stage. Obviously couldn't save Big Dick, but they got a point. Last time out, West Brom went down to a regulation 2-0 defeat to Palace, and the time before that, it was a disastrous confidence shaker, wasn't it? When they were 2-0 up against Everton, and they got pulled back and beaten 3-2. So it's an opportunity for Big Sam there, for sure. And he'd love nothing more, would he?
He'd love nothing more. Yeah.
To pull further away from those slugs at Newcastle.
To have a stat to back all that up, in West Brom's last 15 home games, they have 8 clean sheets. Now, that's decent. But in their other 7 games, they've conceded 3 or more. Jekyll and Hyde.
It's absent to what Jim was saying.
It's another worry for me, for Sunderland in particular, is are those players good enough to get Allardyce's tactics right straight away? I don't know that they will be. There's a lot of sort of headless chicken style performances from players that should know better because they're way more experienced so far in the season. And, you know, how quickly can you sort that out?
Based on that then, so if I said to you Sunderland are 3-1 to beat West Brom, would you be happy to have a bet on that?
I don't know. I think West Brom might take that one.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Especially at home.
Okay, fair enough.
I think with Allardyce's tactics, though, is it not a case against the bigger sides where he likes to set up to frustrate them and then nick a few things here and there? And actually, Mourinho, I mean, I may have said this on the show before, but Mourinho said that the difference of managing in Italy and England tactically, in Italy, most games were like a game of chess.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, teams tended to set up fairly predictably. Apart from, he said, one that was always a bit tricky to second guess was Sam Allardyce.
Mm. Well, Allardyce actually made a very interesting point about Sunderland in an interview I saw with him just after he'd taken over, where he said that he's there as a firefighter. The first thing he's got to do is make sure they're safe. So he's singled out Jermaine Defoe, saying, I don't have too many chances for you to get this right, so you've got to take your own chances. Mm. And also, what he wants from his players is for them to stop making more mistakes than the opposition. Mm. As long as you make fewer mistakes than the other side, you're always going to have a good chance. And, I mean, that's as back to basics as it gets.
I think there's a lot
sometimes
to be said for
people
that.
Forget how important that is.
The reason that, all joking aside about the Premier League, that, tends to overmarket itself and all that stuff we like to laugh at, on the Mourinho thing, I think, for me, looking at it, trying to be empathetic with what a manager has to deal with, having managers in Italy and Spain and England, for me, it looks like, as you say, Italy, it looks like you set your stuff out. It's like a chess game. So it's tactics. It's holding your nerve, that sort of stuff. With Premier League, to me, it just looks like it's a massive, fun roller coaster. You never know what's going
to
happen.
You need to get the players
it's
up
back
for
and
it.
Forward at 100 mile an hour. Yeah. And what you've got to do, as you've just said, is get these players to believe in themselves, get these players to forget about the last couple of months, which is what Big Sam's got to do with Sunderland, and say, it's an opportunity here. We're not playing Barcelona away here. You're playing West Brom away, and you've got a chance. They're only 4 points or whatever it is above us. There's a chance.
Would Allardyce say, if it was Barcelona away, I wouldn't be in the away dressing room?
I'd be in the home one.
Exactly.
It's not Barcelona away for me yet.
Yeah, because he'd be in charge of Real Madrid, obviously.
Exactly.
It is interesting, though, you say that about Serie A and the Premier League. You just wonder, so many English managers that have done okay, the likes of, say, the aforementioned Harry Redknapp, would Redknapp have had a managerial career in Italy? Imagine those kind of players.
Imagine it.
Because their tactics are quite simple in England. And sometimes, even Brian Clough did that.
I think it's not... I mean, Italy go too tactically. So they go too tactical, and it actually it turns people off. Because the average football fan isn't, I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, but the average football fan isn't going to know about the finer details, the minutiae of what inside out forwards do, or whatever it is.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, a false nine here and that. They don't care. What they want to do is actually want to see their team try. They want to see their team score goals.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they obviously want to see their team win. And that's why the Premier League is successful, because that's almost, it seems that is more important than anything else in the Premier League.
Yeah, very, very, very true. I think one of the tastier fixtures at the weekend, it's happened at Goodison Park. Everton hosting Manchester United. Manchester United have sometimes struggled there.
Yeah, and also they're off the back of the humiliating gubbing at the Emirates. Yeah. So how do they...
oh, it's so nice to be able to say that.
Yeah. I don't think you've enjoyed that enough yet.
No, I haven't.
Did you say gubbing?
I did.
Good Scottish word.
Yeah. I learned it from you, mate.
Thank you.
Always learning. they've had a good season up to that result, and they were, Van Gaal couldn't believe how poor they were, and how do they respond to that, especially having had the break.
It's not the place you want to go, having had been on the end of a thrashing, could we call it?
Not quite a shellacking.
No. I don't think it was a thrashing.
It's a game between the two teams that I quite like in places, but I'm not fully convinced by yet. Yeah, Everton and Man United.
Are those places Liverpool and Manchester?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But do you know what I mean, though? They've both shown flashes. They've both shown impressive things, but you're not quite fully convinced by either team yet.
Well, Barkley and Lukaku, the way they've linked up at times this season has been quite superb.
As you say,
an old Nasey.
But as you say, Smith getting involved. Ross Barkley, talent that he is, he gives the ball away a lot. And if you've got Schneiderlin and Schweinsteiger in there, they're just going to mop that up.
Yeah.
So that could be potentially disastrous for Everton.
But then, is that Manchester United midfield at the base quite settled? Because against Arsenal, it didn't look particularly settled. And if Barkley...
No, it looked drunk.
Yeah, it did. but Barkley, he does give the... But he's getting better, certainly. But often people say, oh, yeah, Barkley does, maybe take too many risks. I've said it myself as well. But he is wonderful at driving forward. He's wonderful at taking on players and having a go at goal. And actually, those midfielders will not want him picking up the ball and running at them.
Mm.
I think we're all agreeing.
I agree. And I was just looking at the Man United's odds to win the title, actually, just out of interest. And they're 7-1 to win the title. I've not seen anything to convince me of that yet. I just don't think they're consistent enough. I don't think they're solid enough at the moment. And it'll be a really fascinating game to see how that one turns out. Because, again, Everton, you could probably argue the same thing. I agree with your point about Lukaku and Barkley. But to me, that is a partnership that is clicking at the moment. But it's actually between two quite inconsistent players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to see that fall to pieces at some point.
Yeah, but the other partnership they've got in there is Jagielka and Stones.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
which looks very good. Would Everton fans, could they claim that they got Brendan Rodgers sacked? Because if Liverpool have won the derby...
I heard that that was decided after the FC Sion game, which is going to happen either way. Okay, but the cynic in me thinks if they had beaten Everton, there's no way he would have been fired at that point.
No.
Yeah. You'd have to have a brass neck on you to fire at that point.
And I would imagine Everton fans were probably enjoying the latter-day Brendan Rodgers. Yeah. I think they were probably sad to see him go.
Yeah. That's always a funny thing about football, so when there's local rivalry. You always think it's funny when your rival team loses their manager.
Yeah, but they might get better now.
If they're terrible, it's like, I don't think there's many Everton fans happy about Klopp being Liverpool fans now. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the big one?
Yeah, it is the big one.
An early relegation run-in between Chelsea and Aston Villa at Stamford Bridge. It's ridiculous to think, isn't it, that both managers are under so much pressure that either has to win.
Yeah, I mean, if bearing in Sherwood mind, gets sacked, he won't never have felt so bad. Well,
I ain't never felt this bad in my life.
Well, I can remember going to watch Chelsea versus Aston Villa a few years ago and Chelsea beat them 8-0. And I love that...
Oh, you were at the game, were you?
I was there. Yeah. And you can get that for 500-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't be betting my money on that at this point.
Crafty quid.
But I do... Listen, it's going to be my bet of the week, this game, so we'll come on to that in just a short while. It won't be 8-0, but we'll come on to it in just a short while.
I don't think there's going to be a nil involved. I think there's going to be goals in this game.
I can see that happening. I think, you know, in a way, it's almost like two beleaguered managers under pressure. Mourinho's probably looking at the fixture list going, home to Villa, I'll have some of that, thank you very much.
Might not even go, watch that on telly.
and Tim Sherwood's thinking, here's a chance to
away to Chelsea.
Because what Tim Sherwood's doing is he, in my view, what I've observed, is that he got this reputation early on as this tactics Tim type thing where he was almost like Redknapp light, get out there, run around a bit, that sort of thing. And I think he noticed that people saw that in him and were all of a sudden writing him off as someone who wasn't equipped. And now he's just going to be tactically way too clever.
Yeah.
You know, he's changing things around. He's almost doing a bit of a Brendan Rodgers, like changing formation game to game, changing formation within games. And it looks like a manager who badly lost his way. And if it goes wrong for Aston Villa at Chelsea, which I think it might, I think it could go wrong in a big way because these players at Chelsea are going to be low on confidence. If Willian, who's been playing very well for Chelsea, I mean, there's been players at Chelsea who are still playing okay.
Yeah.
Azpilicueta, Willian, but Willian particularly. And if Willian plays and if Willian scores early, is that going to get Chelsea's tails up? And if it does, I'm fairly disappointed to be an Aston Villa fan anyway, but I would particularly hate to be an Aston Villa fan in that situation.
Yeah,
Villa, do you understand what I mean, though?
Yeah, I do. And Villa have not scored in their last 9 away matches. So they are in poor form, but then obviously Chelsea are. I mean, you're right in saying that it is a fixture where Mourinho probably thinks, thank goodness they're coming to town, because they are absolutely desperate for a win. However, if they fail here, then the supporters, for obvious reasons, Mourinho's been the best manager in Chelsea's history, statistically. The fans absolutely love him, rightly so. But if they were to lose at home to Villa... You see, Southampton are a decent side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can make accounts for that and excuses there. Obviously, losing away to Manchester City, fair enough. But if they lose...
Oh, listen, in the circumstances, in the context of the season, it's the biggest game of the Premier League season so far.
Yeah.
The stakes... There have not been stakes higher for either team and manager so far this season because Sherwood knows if they get a win at Stamford Bridge, who in their right mind is going to even call for his sacking, let alone fire him? He could really make a name for himself here, and he knows that.
And also, as someone who can motivate his players when he needs to, we've seen him do that in the past. What better platform to build from than a win at Stamford Bridge? Whatever form Chelsea are in. But I expect that the game may be Villa trying to get it up to Rudy Gusted and John Terry just going, cheers.
Yeah, see, that's another interesting point. And that feeds into something I was thinking, which is that I think Sherwood's starting to lose his nerve. So these players he's signed, these sort of tricky players and the players that he's relied on in the past, like Grealish and people like that, I wonder if now he's thinking it's back to basics time.
For that.
And we need to just grind something out.
You wouldn't expect to see Sinclair up front. Morgan
but or Grealish, or I mean, he's dropped Carlos Hill, who's a tricky player who looks good.
Inconsistent.
He's not trusting those players suddenly.
Do you not think it's funny though? Actually, you could flip it on its head.
It's
and
very
say,
funny.
You could flip it on its head and say, any other time, Sherwood would know his tactics going into that game. Keep it tight. Try and nick something. Mm. But now you go there and you think, should we look at the way Palace played?
Southampton.
Yeah.
Teams have a go at Chelsea and they get something out of it.
Yeah, so it's actually a little bit tricky for him because they'll think to themselves...
The only difference, though, Mark, sorry to cut in, though, the two teams you've mentioned there, Southampton have had a reasonable start to the season.
And Palace have been
not
great.
Not brilliant, but reasonable. And Palace's tails are up. Aston Villa are not. It's very difficult, practically speaking, for Sherwood to go to these players and say, here's a chance for you. This would be a great win. They're all on the floor at the moment. They're on the floor. So, I mean, they're in the relegation zone. Even if they win this weekend and results go their way, they can't come out of the relegation zone. So whatever happens come Sunday night, when all the games, or Monday night when all the games are done, they're still going to be sat in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
So it's hard to lift them, I think.
Well, Palace themselves are at home to West Ham. Both teams are flying very high indeed. Great starts to the season. West Ham have been just wonderful, haven't they? Three superb away results and then some funny home results. But Palace, with old Pardew at the helm, who's already, he's touting himself.
Former Hammer.
Yeah, touting himself for England already. They look pretty good.
But yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think, you know, West Ham have got a good couple of scalps under their belt away from home. Can you put a scalp under a belt? If you could, their belt is full of scalps at the moment.
I think in 2015 you could probably get a scalp belt made.
Yeah, I hope so. Especially if you've got a lot of disposable funds, which a lot of footballers have.
You'd hope that would be fake.
Yeah, but
the scalp.
But belt. I think West Ham's away form isn't going to. It's not going to last forever, is it? I mean, you can't rely on that. You can't rely on beating those sort of quality teams away, and especially away at Palace, who've got got a good home record.
I don't know, Jim. Can you see something there?
Possibly for West Ham, yeah, because I think the thing with them under Bilic, especially as their form has been so strange, you know, they've been so brilliant away, and they've we know all about their collection of scalps. They are still a little bit of an unknown quantity, and Dimitri Payet has just been absolutely superb. It seems there's no string he can't pull. I mean, he could have a huge influence on that game, and he's been kicking off this week about not being picked for France, hasn't he? So obviously a confident young man.
Who was it? Was it Deschamps or somebody like that who was having a go at him, saying, why did you leave Marseille to go to West Ham? You know, you were at an enormous club like Marseille. Why have you just gone to West Ham? You've just gone for money and you just wanted to go to the Premier League and you could have gone somewhere else.
What's your point?
Yeah.
Also, West Ham move into the Olympic Stadium next season. They're going to start making decent money out of that. They're very much an up and coming team.
Well, West Ham are a big side, but it's not like he's gone there and done nothing.
I mean, I've got my own opinions on whether West Ham will fill the Olympic Stadium or not, and I'm sure a lot of people have. But the point on Payet is that he's not necessarily going to be at West Ham forever. I mean, I know West Ham fans won't like me or thank me for saying that, but reality of the situation is that if Payet continues to perform at this level and just continues to be an assist machine, you know, the puppet master, just putting strings all over the place, he's not going to stay at West Ham. That's just the way modern football is. So ultimately, Deschamps being a bit short-sighted there at best, I think, and also a little bit unfair.
If it was Deschamps that said it,
I think that's
what it was. Now, we've got our own £50 bet to make, don't we, Luke?
Yes, at the end of the show, which is obviously impending, we are going to do a £50 bet, and the winnings of that, he optimistically says, are going to go to Prostate Cancer UK, a very noble and worthy charity. My bet this week, I'm going to take us back to Stamford Bridge to the Chelsea Aston Villa game. I like the look of Chelsea -1 to beat Aston Villa. So Chelsea to beat Aston Villa with a one goal handicap at 20-21. £50 bet returns £97.60 return, including stake. Obviously, with all those winning proceeds, go to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, you need to be over the age of 18 to bet, and odds are subject to change. And you must gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Marvelous. Marvelous. We've come to.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To the end of the first Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure, chaps. If you want to get in touch, of course, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @FootballRamble. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You know the drill, ladies and gentlemen.
And we'll see you again on Monday night /Tuesday morning.
And certainly we will. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
That's goodbye from me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.